everybody. Welcome to the More Than Words podcast. We are the Aunties of Inclusion. I'm Shara.
And I'm Liz.
We're broadcasting live from the UK. Okay? Okay, well, you heard that, right?
We're international, baby.
Internationally. You know, I wish I should, because I know when I brought the microphone, they don't know.
We're internationally known.
Y'all need to go ahead and Google
Everybody knows them lyrics.
Them lyrics, I ain't going to tell you. Don't tell them. Okay, so we are here. Our episode today, we're going to get straight to it because we got an amazing guest today. This is the season. If you're hearing this message right here from the UK, because our passports is stamped, it's the perfect time for you to be hearing from this amazing guest that we have. And I want you to get your notes ready. Get your budgeting, get all your coins, all the coins you done spent from last year ready. Get your passion ready, your heart ready. Liz, what else they need?
Well, because I know that in December, everybody gets really excited at the end of December and they're like, I want to buy presents here. I want to go to this restaurant here and I want to do this and I want to do that. And then in January, they're like, I am a little overspent. So now I need to be, you know, more conscientious in the next 3 months. So this is a perfect time.
Come on.
To have our guest on. As you can see, we have someone else here. It's not just me and Shara.
Yep.
So, Christian, I want to introduce you a little bit based on like how I kind of met
her. Go, because then I'm going to go.
yes, because you got the whole thing here. Y'all have a real good connection. But I, in the process of me moving over to the UK, obviously I'm an accountant from my prior life. So I always have accounting in my forefront and taxes in particular, only because as an accountant, not a tax accountant, I always get, can you do my taxes for me? No, I cannot because, you know, I work in oil and gas accounting, but I digress. So I was freaking out about my taxes. Mm-hmm. I was freaking about, you know, what does it mean for me to live in the UK as a US citizen? And I also wanted someone to understand, you know, my situation because I'm a small business owner. I work in the US and I do work in the UK. And what does that mean? And Shara goes, oh, I have the perfect person. This person keeps all my books together. She keeps me in line. She's like you times 20 million because she actually like, this is what she does for a living. And then when I actually spoke to Christian that first time, and I don't know if you remember this Christian, but I said okay, so this is what I'm doing. I have a business here. I'm gonna have a business in the UK. We have a house over there. All of our investments are y'all knowing a lot about my business.
I was
telling her all of this, and the thing you said was like, the more complicated your taxes are, that means you're doing something good. And I was like,
Somebody who understands your experience. Come on now.
Yeah, and it's as opposed to somebody saying you're doing too much. You need to slow down a little bit. But anyway, so Shara, go ahead and introduce Christian.
Listen, I'm gonna tell you right now, I ain't got all that. So I'm just tell you right now, the key connector is my cousin Karen Bigelow, who was here talking about beekeeping, climate change, and advocacy. And I will tell you that she was like, "Hey," I was like, "You know what? I'm thinking about you know, I'm starting to actually get some momentum around my business, and I need some advice. But I'm not. I am very much so a researcher." I'm not super trusting. I got to do my research. I got to feel all those things. Karen said, listen, you need to connect with Christian. Like, this is what she do. I was like, okay. And then as soon as I text you and we made the connection, I mean, that first conversation was amazing. You ran it down so from the perspective that I enjoy with like my financial planner, which is like understand who I am first and what I'm trying to achieve. And having that coach approach before we even get into the details of what it is that you're trying to get to. And I loved all the scenarios that you gave me, which was like, if you do this, right, and you do this or you don't do that, then these are all the options. So for me, it was an immediate connection. Also, just quite frankly, for the audience, representation matters, right? So Black women across from me, someone who has a shared experience in some form or fashion, understands my cultural responsibilities, my personal responsibilities, the things that are important to me. So it was really great. So when me and Christian clicked, I was like, come on, Christian girl, like we here. And then you get that bill, you be like, you are a professional. You can, and listen, when you listen, a lot of times when I get the bill, I be like, dang, that's a lot. But when I got the bill, I was like, that ain't even, that's too low. No. Because the consulting you do for me, or at least how I felt when I did it, I was like, you got me all together. Like, all together. Bookkeeping, my life, you like, and this is what I need you to do throughout the year. Make sure you do this. This is quarterly. You would check in with me throughout the year, make sure I was on my stuff. And you was like, okay, so get your business information right. Girl, you've been all over it. The price need to go up. Okay.
let's have Christian come on. So welcome, Christian. Yes. We're so excited to have you.
Hey, 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 everyone. I'm super excited to be here. I'm Christian. As Liz and Shara have shared, I am the owner of Brooks Bookkeeping and Accounting Services, where I aim to empower and educate women of color, entrepreneurs, and small business owners on their business, finances, and taxes. I do monthly bookkeeping, tax prep, tax planning, and what Shara and Liz have been talking about in terms of financial education. Really, my goal is to not just be someone who is transactional. I want to go on this financial journey with you, helping you to understand your taxes, helping you to understand your bookkeeping situation, so that by the time we are a year, 2 years, 3 years down the line, you know more than what you knew when you first met me. I want you to be as educated when it comes to your taxes and bookkeeping as possible, so that if you ever need to leave me and go to somebody else, you know what's going on. Because if you don't know what's going on, that's how people steal your money.
Hey, that's right. And you know what I really like, because since I come from an accounting background, and I always get the comment, you don't look like an accountant. You don't act like an accountant. Like, okay, well, what is an accountant supposed to be looking like? But okay, I know what that means. But it's incredible to actually, I mean, we're all people. I got into consulting for DEI and coaching because it all involves people, and accounting is about people. Yes, it's about numbers, but it's something so personal for you. When you talk about people's finances and taxes, and nobody wants to see that IRS letter come in the mail.
Scary.
It's so scary. Your heart rate goes up and you just get scared. And I, Christian, you have such an amazing way of just bringing such a calm presence. As I told you earlier, so she is a YouTuber, y'all. So y'all get on her channel.
Subscribe too. Don't just look. Don't look.
You better subscribe, like, and you need to share with 5 other people. Come on. Okay.
5, 5, 5. Come on.
5, 5. But yeah, as I was like, I hung out with you this morning on YouTube, and you have such a calming presence, and it's so informative. And I was just like, I didn't do that. So now I'm having to go back and I guess a question that I do have, you know, for people who are starting out as entrepreneurs in this sense, right? You know, what would be the best advice that you would give someone starting out on their entrepreneurial journey? And, you know, from a bookkeeping standpoint, because as an entrepreneur, we have put all these different hats on, right? And I think what a lot of people forget about is the bookkeeping side of it and the tax planning side of it. Mm-hmm. So what advice would you give to an aspiring or a new or even an old entrepreneur?
Right.
Who
needs to reinvent themselves in this season. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So that's such a good question. And I think that when it comes to starting your entrepreneur journey, before you even kind of set out, make sure you do your research. As Shara was saying, like, do as much research as you can. When you start your entrepreneur journey, there are some things that you want to have in place. Number one, you need to know your budget, right? You need to have a budget. You need to know how much money you are spending so that you know how much money that you need to bring in order to break even. And then also have some type of bookkeeping system in place. Whether you hire a bookkeeper, you can do your own QuickBooks. I have a bookkeeping template for entrepreneurs. It's very easy. All you got to do is put in your transactions and it automatically makes all the calculations for you. You got some nice graphs to show you how you're spending your money. You can get that on my website.
Yeah, I was playing on that one, Christian. I was like, ooh.
www.christianandbrooks.com. But you want to make sure that you have some type of bookkeeping system in place for a couple reasons. one, your bookkeeping system is going to be the basis of your company's accounting system. And the numbers, you're going to use these numbers in order to make important business decisions. So let's say a year down the line, you're looking at your expenses and you are planning out your goals for your company. You say, you know what? I need to get more customers. I want to spend more money on advertising. Well, you can look back at your bookkeeping. You can see how much money you spent on advertising. If there's another area that you're spending a lot of money in, you can funnel money from there over to the advertising budget. But then also, your bookkeeping is really going to help you when it comes to your taxes. Your bookkeeping, you would give your profit and loss statement or your spreadsheet, whatever you're using for your bookkeeping, over to your tax professional. And your tax professional is going to use that to help you write off some stuff, right? You can write off 50% of your business meals. You can write off, if you have a home office, you can write off part of your rent. You can write off part of your mortgage interest. Like, there's so many things that you can write off if you have a business. But if you're not tracking those expenses, then you are missing out on those tax savings. But then also, when it comes to your, when it comes to starting up your entrepreneur journey, make sure that you know what you need to do in order for your business to be set up legally. There are a lot of people who are setting up their businesses and their businesses are not completely legal, so to speak.
Okay, say it out loud.
What I mean when I say that is just submitting an articles of organization or articles of incorporation isn't enough in some places. Like, for example, I'm in DC. In order for you to set up your business legally, you have to file articles of incorporation. You have to get a certificate of clean hands. You have to get a certificate of occupancy. You have to have a basic business license. And if you go to a site like LegalZoom, LegalZoom is only going to do some of that for you, but you have to do your research to make sure that you are doing all of the rest of that stuff. You have to have a DC tax and revenue account so that you are paying your taxes. You have to pay a biannual reporting fee. So these are things that you have to keep in mind, and you have to do that type of deep research before you even kind of set out to become an entrepreneur.
So first of all, y'all done got the exclusive. Cause I'll tell you right now, listen, y'all don't even know what just happened right there. Cause y'all done got too much. I swear to goodness, if y'all don't call Kristen and get the, listen, this is
did
how
you
these
see
conversations.
My eyes going, did I do that?
Listen, I was sitting here wanting to take notes so bad, but I don't want to shake this table. But let me just say, I'm gonna get it all together, Kristen. I know you hold me accountable. So I will say this though. One thing that I think people need to hear, for those who wrote, like when your eyes start glazing, when they start talking P&L, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm that person. I'm that person when these two stars using them words, my eyes glaze over and I feel like work, 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 pencil, paper, plus, minus. And I'm like, I don't want to do it. But I am that person. But at the same time, I'm telling you, when having somebody who is knowledgeable going through it with you is so less scary, or gives you the motivation when you're not motivated to do it and get it done. Because I'm going to tell you, once you do it that one time and you set it up, it's definitely easier to maintain. But for those y'all out there who still like, oh my gosh, what they talk about? Listen, get your stuff together. Stop listening to Instagram. I'm going to say it out loud. Stop listening to Instagram on how to run your business, because I definitely came with my list of things that I thought I learned from Instagram to Christian. And she so nicely and respectfully like, well, if you... I wouldn't recommend that business practice. You could if you want to go up a different path, and if you want to have some issues with the IRS. But she was definitely helped to debunk some of those myths. So come with your myths, right? Come with all the things that you're trying to do. Be honest, right? Like, if you done heard someone on Instagram, if you done did some research and you feel like you done had it all figured out and all that, just bring it to her and have that conversation. But to that point though, Christian, not everybody comes with that honesty and comes with that balanced piece, because honestly, you could sell us a bunch of products and make tons of money, like many places that are like, you know, the go-to walk-up or, you know, online options. But what are the values that you have for your company, and why is it important to give this kind of tailored experience for your clients?
Yeah, I think it's really important to give this tailored experience to my clients, because like you said, you can go somewhere and if I wanted to, I could just milk people for money. I really could. I bet. Like, that's not my goal. You know, I have an accounting degree. I have a background in accounting, but I also have a background in advocacy, right? So before I started doing my business full time, I was doing public policy advocacy, where I was working with folks on the Hill to like advocate for different policies for people of color. My specialization was race and gender equity, which is why I started a bookkeeping and tax company that is catered towards women of color. But my goal is really to see us win. And when I say us, I mean women of color. So that is why I offer such a tailored experience. I'm trying to educate folks. I am really trying to take us to the next level, because I want my clients to be able to live out their dreams, right?
Go ahead.
Yeah, like, you know, as women of color, it's hard out here. It's hard out here for us. First of all, there is, we are kept out of rooms because of who we are, because of being women, because of being people of color. We are kept from obtaining capital for our businesses. Just so many different things. We're not given the same financial education that a man is given, especially a white man. And my goal is to take everything that I have learned, both in my accounting journey and my advocacy journey, and give it to women who look like me, women who are experiencing the exact same thing that I am experiencing, so that they can live a life of liberation and live well.
And you honestly just answered my question as to why, you know, why women and why women of color. Mm-hmm. You know, both Sharon and I both have our own businesses, and we don't have that financial backing, mm-hmm. that especially, you know, many white entrepreneurs, white male entrepreneurs come with. You know, mm-hmm. we don't have that generational wealth. We're trying to build that generational wealth. And so, I mean, that you just took the words right out of my mouth. It's like, why is it so important for women and women of color to be entrepreneurs and to also get their mind right on when it comes to their finances? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, it's really about freedom and liberation. You know, I said that earlier today before we started the call, but it's really about freedom and liberation, because when it comes to like women, especially women of color, we are expected to be the work mules of society, right? We are expected to go into these jobs, work our butts off, and not be paid nearly what we deserve to be paid, right? We're not being paid as much as men because we're women. We're not being paid as much as white folks because we're people of color. So like that compounded, like intersectional identities of oppression that are just kind of keeping, they're just like, the system is just putting its foot on our necks. But like, we don't have to sit and take it. And gaining financial freedom is a way of fighting back against those systems of oppression, right? Because these systems were set up in order to keep us back. But mm-hmm. when we are stepping up and pushing back, that's a way to fight against these systems, right? So getting other streams of income, right? So if you have a job, find another stream of income. Even if it's you're investing in stocks, if you are in crowdfunding when it comes to real estate, if you got a little side hustle on Amazon or whatever have you, finding different ways to bring in money. So one, we're not slaves to these jobs anymore. So if you are at a job that you hate, you can leave. Like you got other streams of income. You don't have to be here. If you want to be a full-time entrepreneur, you can, or you could just find another job, right? You don't have to stay at this place. Like, I don't know. For me, it's just all about liberation for women of color, because we're just the most oppressed in society, and it's time to forget society. Well,
and I also feel like it helps society as a whole too.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly. I mean, because it's for our benefit and for our generations, but you know, how does it help society as a whole?
Yeah, because whenever women win, women always put back into society, right? Mm-hmm. When women get money, women put money into schools. When mm-hmm. women get money, women put more money into the household. Women, like, we are natural caregivers. So when we are economically enhanced, so to speak, we give back to the community. So yeah.
And I guess I do want to offer for those male listeners, right? Those, so yes, we are talking about women in power, men, women being supported, a specific clientele that's have been underserved that need to have these type of services. But for the males out there, I hope you're listening. Like if you're listening with an open ear, where you hear that, you know, similar to how you say, don't, you know, go with your brother to a mechanic, right? You know, if a girl, a woman or someone that identifies as a woman, you're supposed to go in there with a male representation. Well, that happens everywhere, right? Like when you go and get a bank loan, or people talk to you different when you talk about your business. They talk to you from a softer side than versus maybe how they would talk to a someone who is male or identifies male. And those are the types of things that we constantly experience. That pink tax, you know, we jokingly talk about that around like shavers and other things, but it is everywhere, and where people don't take you seriously. Seriously, and oftentimes specifically around money, or funding money, or raising money, it's just very hard to kind of get that traction and that accountability sometimes as a woman of color, and all the intersections that goes in between there, right? When you layer it. But for those male listeners out there, I do want to be clear, if they're looking for some services, they like what they hear, are you available to them?
Absolutely. Okay. I'm here to help anyone. Now, my focus is women of color, but if there are male listeners out there that want to hit me up, you want to talk taxes, you want to talk bookkeeping, feel free, contact me.
Done. And send your friends and family. Now, there's another question here. So I think we've talked a lot about the gap that you are addressing, but I do want to just kind of switch gears and get right to like the meat, right where we are right now. So this is tax season. Like, if you're not getting ready for taxes, then you behind the eight ball, or you like me and you be like, I'm just like the blissed in all like 1 or 2 weeks and be miserable. But what should the listeners be thinking about right now? So listen up, aspiring small business. If you make any coin, okay. If you got an LLC out there that you done been using for whatever reason, if you done spent anything and say, oh, it's a business something, listen up, right? Because this is for you. And if you've been telling people you a business, this is the time, even if you haven't done all your paperwork, to start operating as one. So what should we be thinking about right now, in this moment, given that it's January?
So first thing is getting your books together so that when you go to your tax person,
I can't take it every time y'all say it. I think it's a joyful word. It's a horrible word. Sounds like a library of just work.
You have all of your expenses. You have all of your expenses, all of your revenues that you made throughout the year, so that you are able to get those write-offs. That is so important. I have run into so many people who weren't necessarily keeping track of the amount of money that they spent during the year. So when it comes to tax season, well, there were a lot of write-offs that they missed out on, right? They spent a lot of money for the business. Sometimes they spent personal money and they could have written that off on their taxes, but they missed out on it because they weren't, because they weren't keeping good records. But also start looking around for a tax professional and start looking around for a tax professional who can really help you. You know, TurboTax is cute when you ain't got a lot going on with your taxes, okay. Right? I like TurboTax. I used to use TurboTax all the time, but once your taxes are more complicated, it's time to move away from TurboTax and actually get a tax professional. Once you own a business, once you start owning a rental property, things of that sort, once you start, you start really getting into stocks, selling stocks, cryptocurrency, things of that sort, you really want to call a tax professional who can help you to sort through some things and make the best decisions for you. Also think about tax planning. when it comes to taxes, and again, this is the different mindset of like the financial education versus not having the financial education, right? When I was growing up, tax season was all about tax refunds, right? But as a business owner, when you have businesses, when you have a bunch of different assets, it's not about getting a refund. It's about having a tax liability that is as close to zero as possible. Mm-hmm. Because when you're getting a refund, that means that you've been paying throughout the year and they're just giving you your money back.
Interest free, y'all. I keep telling people I never wanted to have a tax refund since I became an accountant 20 years ago. People were like, oh, I'm getting this refund. I was like, yeah, you just lent the government money and they're giving it back to you interest free. But
listen, I don't like y'all tone, because I'm saying right now, I'm that person. I'd be like, girl, I got that refund. Where we going, girl? Listen, I may not have that spirit now, but I had that spirit before. And I'm saying right now, I used to be waiting for that season. I'm like, so when we get that refund, what are we going to do with it? And things had happened. Okay. We lived off of that thing. Not right or wrong. I know I wasn't right. But I like that money back. I felt like I was giving a gift every time. Like,
I mean, that's real. And you know what? I like that refund too. I like that refund too. But when you're getting a refund, like Liz said, you're just getting your money back. You just loan the government your money and they're giving it back.
Nice, right? But you know what? You got your refund and you lived your life and nobody's mad at it. Right. Okay,
I got experiences with that loan. Okay, thank you.
Go ahead.
Yeah, but you know, as you start gaining more assets, businesses, rental property, your income goes up. The goal is to pay as little as possible legally, so that you're able to live off of your money instead of that money going to the IRS.
You know, one of the things that I read recently. Don't get mad at me, Christian, because it might have been on Instagram, but we'll go ahead and have a real reenactment of you and Shara's conversation. So on Instagram, what I was reading about was more of a, not crackdown, but more that the IRS is starting to look at small businesses and like on their expenses that they put on their IRS form. And there's going to be like an increase in audit. Is that true? And how do small businesses and entrepreneurs prevent, you know, these audits, how can they be prepared for these audits?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it depends on what the expense is. There are some expenses that will flag an IRS audit quicker than others. So for example, for business use of home, because you get to write off so much stuff when it comes to that particular deduction, the IRS is going to scrutinize that a little more than they'll scrutinize office supplies. Like you buying pencils and papers, they don't really care about that. And the way that you prepare for that is good record keeping, making sure that you are keeping good records, because when the IRS comes around to do an audit, they're going to be asking you for that information. They're going to be asking you for documentation to prove that this was a business expense. If it's business use of home, they're going to be asking you for, okay, you know, your home office, let's see it. Is there a bed in there? Is it doubling as a spare bedroom? If it is doubling as a spare bedroom, then it can be a home office, because your home office has to be exclusively used for your business. Same thing with business use of vehicle. You get to write off a lot of different expenses when you are using your vehicle for business purposes. But again, you have to have tight record keeping. So you need to make sure that you are keeping logs of your business trips. When you're going, the date you're going, the date you return, the mileage, how many miles it took to get there, all of that. You're keeping receipts, even if you need to take pictures of receipts like gas, or if you're getting some repairs or something done to your car, take pictures of receipts and just keep that in a folder just in case, just in a case the IRS comes around knocking. Now, the good thing is that when it comes to IRS audits typically only audit the past 3 years, unless there has been a substantial understatement of income. If they have reason to believe that you have substantially understated your income, then they'll go back at least, I think, about 6 or 7 years.
So I will say that this is the part that I struggle with the most, which was I was missing things. Like if you didn't have the consultation with me and also the bookkeeping spreadsheet, it was so many things on it that I forgot and I just did not consider where I would have underrepresented my expenses. Not just naturally not thinking about it and putting it at the forefront. There's some things that just easily come roll off the subscriptions and the things that I need, I use every day. But then you start thinking about this stuff that are like, you're right, the room, or, you know, hey, I did drive my personal car to this meeting, or when, you know, I flew, right? I did all these things that after a while, you know, after you get past the year, you kind of forget like all those nuances of things. Look, even making prints, like you know, buying equipment or getting paper and stuff like that, you'd be like, oh, that's not a big deal. But it does add up over time and is really important to capture because, yes, it's a low year now, but it could be a huge year next, you know, a huge year next year where that is a higher expense. So I definitely learned quite a bit about, you know, how much I really need to take stock of just the minor things as well as the big things. So that's a great one. But you know, before we close, I know we talked a lot about taxes and a lot about the accounting.
You saw how she like real quick veered away from that.
Y'all know my underarms is hot because I just, this topic really gets me going.
And there's a fire going
and
on behind us.
And there's a fire behind me. Fireplace, safe. We're safe though. So listen, so I know this question. Liz and I know some of this question, but the audience needs to know, what are your other passions outside of this work? Because one thing I have learned about Karen, shout out to Karen and all of the people that she worked with, y'all, she was surrounded by Swiss Army knives.
Yes.
Right? People who got a little bit, I mean, they do this one thing, but they got three other things they can do that could be easily monetary in some way. But Christian, share with the world all the amazing passions that you have outside of just this particular world, because I think people need to hear it.
Yeah. So, of course, bookkeeping and taxes, but as I mentioned before, I did some advocacy work. So I am extremely passionate about race and gender advocacy. I have my website, christianandbrooks.com. And when you go to christianandbrooks.com, you can see things that I've written on the topic. You can see speaking engagements that I've had on the topic. And I really look at it from an intersectional lens in terms of race and gender and the environment, right? Environmental justice and climate. How is this affecting women of color? Also looking at it from reparations, right? Race, gender, and reparations. So that's something that I am extremely, extremely, extremely passionate about. I also love writing. I love writing. When I did have my full-time job, I ran the internship program. And during the internship program, I was basically a writing coach for my interns. I would set, like, I intentionally had them write at least four things, whether it was a blog, whether it was an article, action alerts, or whatever, because I really wanted them to leave out of the office having this writing skill, because there were there, quite honestly, a lot of people don't have the skill of writing, and the skill of writing is extremely important because it's a form of communication, right? It's a form of communicating your ideas, your thoughts, your passions, your research, all of that to the masses. And you can do that in so many different forms, whether it's a blog, whether it's an article, whether you are writing a social media post, whether you are writing advertisement or something of that sort. Writing is just so essential and it's so important. And I thought that it was really important for my interns to learn that, and also to kind of debunk some of the stuff you learn when it comes to writing in college. Like,
that's an important task. I mean, I struggle with whenever we have to do our content, and I'm like, I can create the content, but then Cher has to do all the pretty writing at the bottom, because But you know, to your point, the more if you're not good at a skill and it's something you want to get better,
Come on.
i.e. tax planning, i.e. bookkeeping, writing,
Yes.
you practice it. You
Right.
practice it and you reach out to experts. You reach out
Right.
to people who are doing this stuff, you know?
Right.
If you're running out of ideas, what do they say? Or you can't think of new ideas, go read some books.
Correct. Go read some books. But also I want to add though, the climate change piece is important.
Yeah.
Okay, so all of this is important, but I want to throw that out there. As a person in this work around ESG, environment, social, and governance, for those of you who don't know what that is, go look it up. It's really important. It governs a lot of big public organizations these days, so make sure you know about that. It's a lot of people who don't know how many people of color who are available in the work of climate change and social responsibility who don't get the shine and don't get the visibility about the other options other than what's, you know, more immediately available to them. I was just having a conversation with somebody about tree planting. Listen, tree planting is a great idea, great opportunity for us to do that as an organization, but there's so many other things than, you know, tree planting and food banks, and there's so many other things we can have an impact on. And I didn't know that. I mean, you and Kieran welcomed me into that world. Liz got curious about it, and y'all started sharing with me so many things that are people of color, Black farmers, Latino farmers, like so much work that's happening that people, especially us with the big dollars and big companies, and can really start to invest in and have some more intentional impact in the community. Is there anything specific you want to share about that? Because I don't think it gets enough visibility.
Yeah, and I think that you're absolutely right. And when it comes to this climate work, you typically have the companies that are going to some of the same organizations to get consultation on like climate and environment instead of like stepping outside of the box. Like you said, there are so many people of color who are doing this climate work. I mean, I have a laundry list
And we cover up on this, right?
Of networks or of people in my network who are doing this climate work, and they're like doing this climate work. So if you know a company came to them and was just like, hey, we're gonna plant some trees, they'd be like, nah, that's not what we're gonna do. This is what we're gonna do. Because
Yes,
you get
I mean, tree
in.
planting is important, but when you can move the needle,
Right.
find something that
Exactly.
is really going to impact people, especially people like Black and Latino farmers who
Absolutely.
are doing the same work as a white farmer,
Come
but they're
on.
doing it uphill
Right.
with like the current going against them,
Absolutely.
with no resources and no funds available. So, and when you help the most marginalized person in your
Come
community,
on.
we all thrive.
Right. But I
Absolutely.
want to send a shout out about that though. I think if you are interested in that conversation, reach out to Christian. I know we're talking about tax, but that particular one is one I'm highly interested in this year. I'll be sharing her as my network. I think you all should do the same. I mean, we got to stop doing the same thing if we want a bigger result. That we're on the clock, right? You know, some of y'all got those 2050 goals, those 2030 goals. I don't know what day you think it is, but it's 2023 and we got to get on it. So I think with that, we're gonna have to close out. Anything else we haven't talked about, Christian, that you think is really important for our listeners?
Yeah, just go check out my products. Go check out my products. My website, www.christianandbrooks.com. As I mentioned, I have the entrepreneur bookkeeping template. I also have a template for personal finances. If you have been spending a lot of money, you spent too much during Christmas time, and now you want to track your finances, go in there and grab the personal finance tracker. It will, all you have to do again is put in your transaction. It automatically does all the calculations for you, has some graphs that shows you your overview of how much you spent, how much you saved, how much you brought in. But also I have a depreciation tracker for rental properties. You are able to write off depreciation expense for your rental properties on your taxes. And if you need to figure that out, or if you have a tax professional who you want to figure that out, go ahead and get my rental property depreciation calculator on my
Yeah, and
website.
we'll put We'll put your all your links on the post that Absolutely. We do. And if you go to www.morethanwordspodcast.com and you go into resources, you'll have a link to Christian's website.
Absolutely. And by the way, don't be cheap. Don't ask for no code. We're not giving you one. This is a small business. Let's do our part.
Support you small businesses.
If you don't went out to eat this week, then you can also go ahead and pay that money that you would normally go out to eat. And
I know how many times tablets. You ate. I know. Yes, but that's I know. That's what we're doing year-end resolutions
and
for
And
no
them Starbucks add up. If you've been 3 times this week, come on. That template ain't even that expensive. Come on.
Well, thank you, Christian, so much for joining us and for sharing your wisdom. And we love hearing a little bit more about you and your journey.
Yes.
Like I said, everybody go, please like, share, comment. Not just our YouTube page, but also Christian's YouTube page.
Yes, and subscribe. That's really important, right? Subscribe to these pages, right? So that we know.
All right. See y'all later.
Bye.
Bye.